Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great things you're doing for the country, that's for sure. This program is sponsored in part by the Kentucky and Pennsylvania FFL CIOs. We appreciate their support very much. Joining me today, we've got Barry Craig of the Kentucky Labor Institute and the Western Kentucky AFL CIO Area Council. Barry, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Barry, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Let me get your thoughts on this very quickly. Mr. Murray of Murray Cole is very concerned about the Trump budget, even though he has been an outspoken and ardent supporter of Mr. Trump, had his people stand up for a mandatory unpaid press brief, from what I understand, and has probably sent a lot of money to President Trump. Mr. Murray is saying that the Trump tax bill is going to put coal mines out of business.
Well, that's interesting. That's a new one on me. I think, to be honest, though, Charles, if we look at this objectively, what is putting coal out of business is market forces. I believe natural gas is putting coal out of business. That is opposition from a quarter that I would not expect, because the coal industry seemed to be heart and soul behind Trump. That's going to be an interesting development to look at. Also heard along the lines of opposition to this tax bill, a lot of the California Republican congressmen are opposed to this bill now. So, you know, it looked like, Charles, that they had it first to go on the one, but you being an old Steeler fan, by the way, I still root for the Browns. Difficult. But
Who do you root for?
Cleveland Browns.
Who are they? Where are they from?
In any event, as you know from being a football fan, that first and goal is not a touchdown. And it seemed after this 2 o'clock in the morning passage of the Senate bill that this thing was going to be pretty quickly wrapped up, that the House would go along. But you add this coal business to that. You add these California congressmen. There's also a piece, by the way, that I would recommend to your listeners in Slate. And here's the headline. Senate Republicans made a $289 billion mistake in the handwritten tax bill they passed at 2 a.m. Go figure.
Yes.
So this is, and you've seen enough football games to know that there are fumbles, there are goal line stands, there are interceptions in the end zone. So this thing is not over with yet.
You know, and the thing about this is this is not like just a little loophole that some people could, you know, take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loophole that you could drive a Mack truck through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's going to be something to be watching. Of course, Trump keeps talking about his big, beautiful Christmas present he's going to give the American people. It's more like a stocking full of coal. That's ironic, I guess. And so we'll see. We'll see. But again, Charles, how many times have we said in interviews, you couldn't predict any of this stuff? This stuff is so unbelievable. The whole idea of that bill, and I know you've seen graphics of it. I've seen it online and on television, photocopies of this bill where it's got this scribbling, what we call in Kentucky chicken scratching. How in the world could you read the thing? But again, they were hell-bent to get a win. At any cost. And they've got it, although I think in the long run, this is going to be a win for the Democrats when people look at this thing closely. And you wonder how many of these, the answer is probably zero. How many Republicans read the whole thing as they sped through to pass it? It's unbelievable. I do believe, though, there will be hell to pay for this, and the Republicans will pay it in 18.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the way things are going right now, the Republicans are very astutely lining this up. And then in 2020, when they lose and the economy has gone to hell in a handbasket, that the Democrats are going to have to raise taxes. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the outcry is going to be, oh, my God, look at what the Democrats are doing. They're raising taxes.
Yep. Yep.
It's horrible.
Charles, the Republicans calculated this as a win-win. It's a win in that it has made their donors extremely happy. I've also media reports, and you did too, about donors saying they're going to close their pocketbooks, close their checkbooks. Okay, they got that. All right, let's say that the economy does not pick up and nobody who has any sense says it will. Then they're going to come back and say, well, now we've got to cut Social Security. We've got to cut Medicare. We've got to cut Medicaid. They've hated those programs from the beginning. They've been trying to get rid of Social Security since 1933 when it was passed. They've been trying to get rid of Medicare and Medicaid since they were passed. So they see this as a win either way it goes. I think the American people, though, are going to see it a lot differently.
I think you're right. And I'm hoping that the American public, and I have faith in the American public, will see through these tactics, will see through these shenanigans.
I tell you, Charles, I think that the Republicans should be concerned, and they probably are behind closed doors, about these election results earlier in November. New Jersey, it's a blue state. No surprise that the New Jersey voters elected a Democrat. I mean, Christie was about as popular as a wet dog at a wedding. So that was predictable. But in Virginia, that's impressive. Not only did the Democrats elect the governor, they also came within one seat of flipping the House. Now, Kentucky obviously is different, but we're like Virginia in a lot of ways as well. And I think one of the things, too, if you look at these analyses, they've had special legislative elections all across the country since Trump was elected. The Democrats had done very well in these, and they had four pickups in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is redder than Kentucky. Trump carried 118 of 120 counties. Trump carried all of Oklahoma's counties.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we can hang in there, but the important thing is, and you stress this over and over again, is to stay active, to keep being organized, keep going to rallies, keep calling your representatives, state and national, keep talking to them face-to-face, keep sending those emails. I think there's tremendous enthusiasm in the Democratic base. You're seeing Kentucky Democrats with a little extra spring in their step, and that is that was hard to find. About a year ago this month, when we got shellacked, when we lost our firewall, the House, the Democratic House, was all that stood between Kentucky and the right to work and repeal of prevailing wage. When we lost the House, Governor Matt Bevin, who's a union hater, he immediately got the legislature. They didn't have to be encouraged, by the way, the Republicans, to approve right to work and to repeal prevailing wage. They also declared holy war on public education. Now, with this pension issue, though he's thrown a rock at a hornet's nest on this, and this could very well be their undoing. As it stands today, there is no special session, although Bevin wants to call one to gut the public pension program. So that's definitely – the tides have shifted toward the Democrats. But
you know what, Barry, I'll tell you what I think is going to be the big tell on this.
Mm.
What happens in Alabama?
Yeah.
What happens in Alabama if Roy Moore loses?
Mm-hmm.
Because I suspect that there are very many people in Alabama that are saying, "Oh yeah, I'm going to vote for Roy Moore. I don't care. They haven't proven anything to me yet." Who are realistically or secretly not going to vote for him.
Well, obviously, the last election, presidential election, proved that polls can be inaccurate. Although, I will say this, the polls that predicted Clinton would win, she did in the popular vote. She just didn't win where she needed to win. Polls are, in fact, the polls in Kentucky were so bad in our governor's race that the polling is all but stopped. We just don't see them out there. So I have no idea. It's all going to come down to turnout. We'll see. But you're right. If the Democrat wins, or at least even comes close, that's going to be indicative of a seismic shift out there. And I think the race is going to be close. If Doug Jones loses, it's not going to be by much. So we'll see. We'll see how that's the weirdest race. I mean, you know, the Republican National Committee pulled out. Now they're back in. Then you've got this idiot Bannon down there screaming and yelling at the Republican establishment. Then you've got the whole issue of him coming to Washington. McConnell even said that they'll have an ethics investigation. Moore hates McConnell. McConnell hates him back. There's a poem, Charles, that ends, "In politics is the damnedest in Kentucky." It is. It's also the damnedest in the United States right now.
It is. And, you know, I got to tell you, you guys in Kentucky, you sure know how to throw an election. My goodness. I guess we're all going to get a taste of this one.
Well, it's. I think everybody's going to be watching those Alabama results. I'm not going to predict. I don't bet on politics and sporting events because I would lose what little pension I have. So we'll see. And who knows? Who knows what could happen between today and next Tuesday? That also is unpredictable.
Barry, I think you should run for Congress.
Only thing I'm running for is the county line. And I've always had bipartisan support for that, and I hope I continue to do so.
There you go. Meantime, Barry Craig of the Kentucky Labor Institute and the Western Kentucky AFL-CIO Area Council. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.